London to meet him at the airport with some key suggestions about points he ought to make. But he's ready to take it on, and I think he'll be all right.
Did you get him your 13-paragraph memo?
Well, that's the point, the principal thing I want to get to, and to be sure he can lay that on pretty thick. Now, we had another communication that is on its way over to you, on which I'd like to make a recommendation when I see Bob McNamara at 6:30. Wilson has and Menzies have come back suggesting that in order to handle their Commonwealth problem and to get ready for the Algiers conference, that the Commonwealth themselves appoint a committee of three prime ministers, Wilson, Ayub, and Nereri, to visit various capitals to see if they can find a means for a peaceful settlement here. The prediction is that Hanoi and Peiping will turn this one down too, but we'll have to give it a little thought, and I wouldn't want to get a snap answer from you until you had a chance to read this message. The Australian and British ambassadors have just come in to see me together to give me a copy of this, and it's on the way over. My guess is that Hanoi and Peiping would snarl at this one like they've snarled at everything else, but clearly Wilson is trying to get himself off the spot he feels he's on over back home these days. And if he could have something that would run through the Algiers conference and then be out of his own country for a couple of weeks visiting capitals, this might be something that would be rather appealing to him at the moment. Offhand, I don't see any particular dangers in it for us, because we've been trying to rope somebody to talk with, but it's not the happiest combination. The suggestion of the three comes about partly because they have to have somebody that recognizes Peiping, but secondly, they want to get a combination that'll be that will be difficult for Hanoi and Peiping to turn down. I think Ayub would be pretty good on this, and then you'd have Nereri on one side and Wilson on the other, probably. But I just wanted you to know about the fact that just this minute I've had this from them, and you'll want to read it pretty carefully when it gets over, and I'll be in touch with you after 6:30.
That'll be good. Now, I'm finding, reading some criticism about our sending certain stuff to Nasser and then his selling to Red China and Cuba and Indonesia. Pele charges the State Department was naive in not detecting the manipulation of our foreign aid by Egypt, as well as in our position of replacing rice that's sold to Cuba. Isn't this just like selling it to Cuba directly, he asked. He urged from now on Congress stipulate the terms under which any shipment of grain could be made. He expressed the hope that foreign aid appropriation could be considered a limitation could be added, stipulating that funds cannot be used to administer any aid to Nasser. Now, is that true? Is he reselling it to Cuba?
No, there's not. There's no reselling going on. We did have to straighten out a point with them on the business of their exporting rice at a time that we were sending them wheat, and this was contrary to the agreement. I was told that has been straightened out, but I've got to I'll have to check the details on that to be absolutely certain.
Well, he says that he's pointing out in a speech that's going to be delivered later today that American foreign aid is being used as a device where they sell rice and other food produced by Egypt and uses food from the U.S. to meet the needs of the Egyptian people.
Well,
he disposed of most of this food to certain communist countries and returned, been able to obtain military equipment, carry on his imperialistic activities.
No, there's been no resale of our food. I think they did sell a small amount of rice at one point, and we raised an objection to that, and I'll have to check to see just how that was straightened out.
Should we go on and let them have that 37?
I think we ought to, Mr. President. I think we ought to try the 17 million on first, and then around the 1st of July, just before that, take a look at the other 20. But I think we've had some real dividends from the pressures we've put in on this, and I think we ought to not to make ourselves responsible for the street riots and things like that they might well have there.
LBJ calling off Viet airstrikes. It's a two-column headline. New York Post, LBJ planning new pause in Viet raids. President Johnson is planning to order new pause in the bombing raids against communist North Vietnam. That's the word from high UN source.
High UN source?
Yeah. This New York paper. Maximum good effect could be obtained from a new pause. And he goes on and tells why the foreign ministers of 50 Asia-African nations begin on that day for the summit meeting of presidents, kings, and premiers. Their first business will be to decide if the Soviet Union should be invited. Then goes on. Countries friendly to the U.S., such as India and Nigeria, will be able to argue forcefully constructive moves, but conflict could result in reversing the war escalation trend. On the other hand, then Johnson could make good use of this San Francisco speech to appeal to the Algiers Conference to help bring about unconditional discussions. Another occasion of such a presidential appeal could be in a message of greetings. Anyway, then it quotes, in the event the conference or Youthon or other leaders, President Algiers, were able to make progress toward Vietnam, it could become convenient to continue the pause and bombing. It looks like this, then says UN Secretary General Tant will go from San Francisco, where he certainly will meet Johnson, to Algiers, where he'll have a chance to confer with you and Lai. So that's a big headline.
That sounds like some of Lutant's people talking up there.
Yes, it does. It does.
Yeah. All right, sir.
Okay.